Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I have a big gun on the line with me today. We want to talk about an interesting topic, and I've got an expert in the field to do it. Options, puts, calls, barbells, dumbbells, straddles, all that stuff you hear about. What is all that? Is it something you should be doing in your investment portfolio? Is it something your financial person should be doing in your investment portfolio? So, the gentleman, Ennis Tanner, is my guest. He is editor of Global Macro. The website is riskreversal.com. And I was quizzing Ennis before we started the program about his appearances in media, and he's all over the place. So, he's a contributing editor or opinionator, maybe that's the right way to put it. It contributes to the Halftime Report, Closing Bell, and Options Action on CNBC. And he is very nice to be on our program today. Ennis, welcome to the program.
Hi, David. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. So, Ennis, we'll give him a little bit of background on you. You worked as an option market maker, a proprietary trader in derivatives group at Merrill Lynch and also at Goldman Sachs. And you've done markets from Canada, Hong Kong, all over the world, and you are we'll call you can I call you a TV personality? I don't know if I've had a TV personality on the show yet.
That might be exaggerated, but I'll take it.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, we're really honored to be part of that group of media outlets exposing your message and helping people understand these different techniques or strategies or derivatives. So let's get to some of the basic stuff, and because I think that, you know, for a lot of people, options and other derivatives are foreign. You know, it's very foreign. And so we'll start with maybe the most basic question is, when would somebody want to include these kinds of strategies in their investing?
So let me start actually by giving you some statistics how current institutional investors, who are generally the more sophisticated crowd, use options. In fact, when we look at the options market in general, the majority of large institutional investors use options to sell calls. And selling calls essentially is a method in which you can add yield to a stock position, and you do that by giving up potential upside in the future.
But you get income for doing that. You get a
penny. You get income. So, yeah. For example, if Exxon is a $100 stock, you could sell the $110 calls that expire 3 months from today, and you would give up the stock at $110 or higher 3 months from now, but against that you might collect half a percent or 1% of extra yield during
and
that
if it
time.
Does go to 110, you're getting the $10 appreciation on your $100 shares, and you get the income in the meantime. And so you want it to run up to $109 and then fall back to 100 over and over and over and over.
Yeah, and that never happened.
So,
but yes, that in theory would be the best way to handle it. But what we see when we look at the statistics in the options market is we've seen actually a significant amount of growth in options trading over the last 5 years.
Which Why do you think that is?
Which is in contrast actually to the broader stock market where we've seen volumes decline. And I think a big reason for that is that interest rates have been near zero during that entire period. So a lot of institutional investors who typically used to rely on a good portion of their cash to yield some extra yield for the portfolio have now decided to use call overwriting as a way to add extra yield since interest rates are essentially zero.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And so this is a tool that the more sophisticated investors are utilizing as an additional source of income or boosting yield, as you put it.
Yes, and what we see, what's interesting, and this is where options become a little bit more complicated and why at first glance sometimes people are put off by them, is that there are a lot of different options contracts. Mm-hmm. So even if we take one stock as an example, we can use Exxon again, there are option contracts that expire in 1 month, in 2 months, in 3 months, in 6 months, in a year, in 2 years. And as a result, as in addition to that, you have options contracts with different strikes. So you have the $100 strike option, the $110 strike option, et cetera. And choosing strikes and maturities is a cumbersome process for someone new to options. But over time, for those who become familiar with a systematic strategy, it's actually not something that's as complicated as it looks at first glance. So that's why I think institutions have become more comfortable over the past few years developing systematic call selling strategies where, like you said, every month or every 2 months, in fact, we see them mostly trading monthly or even weekly options, so short-dated options, where they're persistently selling a one-month option over the course of a year to collect extra yield.
That's very good. Well, and these are things that people aren't as familiar with, and it can be part, as I, you know, it's like that box of sugar cereal that we see on television. It can be part of a well-balanced diet. Options could be part of an overall strategy. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and I want to talk about the website because there's a ton of information there. Ennis Tanner is our guest. Stay right there.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And welcome back. We have Ennis Tanner with us on the line, and he is a lot of things, global market editor. He has the website, riskreversal.com, which I want to get into a little bit more, Ennis. But he's also been featured as a contributor on the Halftime Report, Closing Bell, and Options Action on CNBC. So let's dive into the website, because we talked before the break, Ennis, about kind of scratching the surface. So there's a lot of different types of options that can be done, betting one way, betting another, betting neutral. And so talk to us about the website and how somebody might take advantage of that or leverage your site.
Sure. So the site's riskreversal.com, and I partnered with a trader who I used to trade with at Merrill Lynch. We were options traders there together, Dan Nathan, who is actually the regular contributor as well on CNBC, on Options Action, and on Fast Money after the close. And the site's idea actually originated from the concept that options are very useful strategies, and we see them becoming more popular with institutional investors, but because they're a little bit complicated at the first glance, they are generally avoided or not utilized by the retail investor. So we have a very extensive educational section on the Risk Reversal site. And in addition to that, we actually put up general commentary, many educational posts, as well as our own trade ideas where our subscribers can subscribe to the site, and you can do a two-week free trial if you want to get a feel for how those trade structures work, exactly how we lay out the idea. And as you said, our thought process behind this is the beauty of options is that sometimes you might have a view on a stock that it might not go, there might not be any catalyst for the next 3 months. There might not, or there might be a concerning catalyst that might hurt your stock position. So we do many different types of strategies. Sometimes they are strategies for upside leverage. Sometimes they're for downside protection. Sometimes they're more speculative investments. And all of those different types of strategies are detailed on the site.
Well, I want to ask you, because I think it'll be fun for our listeners. You probably have gotten this question. Do you remember the movie Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah, that's a classic.
That's a classic. I'm sure you probably have that on DVD and in your DVD player at home if you confess truthfully to us. But so what was, for those of us that remember that movie, what were the options? They were doing frozen orange juice or something?
It was orange juice contracts, exactly. Which I've never traded. I've traded a lot of options in my career, and I've never touched orange juice.
So they bet basically. It went the wrong way on them, and they lost everything. Was the story?
Yes, and that's also part of the thinking behind the site is that unfortunately, institutional investors, they use options mostly to provide incremental yield and to provide some hedging strategies. Oftentimes, new options traders are looking to make a quick buck, and that's where it can get very dangerous, where you can lose everything, just like in the Trading Places movie.
Very good. So this is something that for a lot of people or for investors, they can use it as a way to either hedge their bets, insulate their portfolio. It could be part of a strategy. The other thing I think that a lot of people probably are not aware of, Ennis, and I think you can help them understand this as well, is that you talk about the kinds of companies that may use these strategies, the options and whatnot. It might be a very stodgy insurance company, for example, that with some of their various products like an annuity or something like that, where they're actually using options to help with those strategies.
Absolutely. When I was actually a market maker at Goldman Sachs, one of our largest customers for index options, for S&P 500 options specifically, but even for the other indices like the NASDAQ and the Dow, the insurance companies were one of the largest traders, customers for the market making desk. And the reason is exactly as you mentioned. For their annuity portfolios, they would offer guaranteed annuities for those customers interested in that with the insurance company. And the insurance company, to hedge that guarantee, would go out and buy protection on the S&P 500 going out 5, 6, 7 years. And the market making desk, we would price up those strategies. So options are very versatile. They're also used widely by corporations to hedge, for example, a GM or a Ford who has commodity risk, meaning if commodity prices go down, then they might get hurt, or an airline company that gets hurt if oil prices go up. Those corporations will also use options to hedge those risks.
So if you're an airline and you're out there, you know, using up however many millions of gallons of fuel, that you are, if the price of oil goes up just X amount, 10 cents or whatever it is, that has a real impact. So part of what you do is you bet the other way, to put it in kind of a blunt terms, so that you spend a little bit of money to protect yourself in case you have that price jump and it crushes your profits by, the cost of your fuel going up.
Exactly. And generally, corporations like that will refer to that as the hedging the business risk. So
okay.
An airline might not be hurt if oil prices go up 5% or 10%, but if they go up 25% in a year, all of a sudden, they have a significant problem.
I'm going to check my ticket next time I get an airline flight and make sure they're not putting a hedge fee on there for their...
that's the tragedy for the consumer, is that a lot of times they'll be double counting. They might not be hurt by those higher prices, but they'll be willing to pass them on anyways.
Yeah, that's right. Baggage fee, hedge fund fee, option trade fee. Yeah, we're gonna be on guard now. That's good, Ennis.
Exactly.
That's good stuff. Well, if you're just joining us, Ennis Tanner's our guest today, and he is a expert on this stuff, and we're glad to have him on. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back. Stay right there.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back. Ennis Tanner's on the line with us. The website, riskreversal.com. Before the break, Ennis mentioned you can get a free trial to go on there. Log in, try it for a few weeks, see if you like it. A lot of free resources there, and you can also join as a member. Is it like a monthly membership fee or something like that?
Yes, it's a monthly membership fee of $99, or you can do a yearly membership of $750. And in addition to options education, we also actually run our own investment portfolio. And within that investment portfolio, we'll show you strategies similar to what institutional investors use in terms of overriding calls against the long stock positions that we have in that portfolio, or buying protection ahead of earnings events or other catalysts.
That's very good. And the you mentioned also before the break about some of these strategies, you know, where you can take. So there's so many different ways of, you know, you determine what you basically with a lot of these options. If you're going to make them part of a portfolio, you have to have and I saw this on your website. Basically, you have to have an opinion about what direction something's going to go, either up, down, or stay within a range. And you also need to think or be mindful of how quickly it's going to do that, or how long it will take for that happens, because some of these strategies, and they go out a long way. You mentioned, you know, some of these options being up to like 2 years in length.
Right. And it's actually, I like to say, when you just trade stocks alone, the general feeling is it going up or down? It's a two-directional situation.
Right.
When you start trading options, you introduce an additional vector, which is time. And timing becomes much more important. Now, the benefit is that if you can take advantage of time, for example, in the income strategies that we mentioned earlier where you sell calls, time is on your side. But there's also situations where you have, again, like earnings, you have a specific event, you have a specific time in the future where you might be worried about the stock, or you might be excited in that there's a potential catalyst for the stock to go higher, whether it's an analyst day or company announcement. And structuring option strategies around those potential events is also another way to take advantage of the time aspect.
That's very good. The longer is the correct term, long-term equity appreciation? Is that the type of, when you get out to the like the two-year period, is that what they call those?
Yeah, the leaps.
The leaps,
exactly.
Okay. All right. I didn't want to leap and give the wrong answer, so that's why I put it out there for you to confirm for me. But I mean, right. So you can, if you really have a strong belief, say, hey, look, this stock, I really think it's just going to do really well, but it's just not going to do it right away. It's going to take a few years. Then that might be a position somebody would take.
Right. Or it might be a position where you really like the company for a long period of time, but you also think, you know what, this is such a high conviction idea for me. I'm going to go out and buy a call that's 2 years away in the off chance that this stock goes up, you know, 50, 75, 100% in that time, then I'll have an extra kicker, an extra boost.
I got you. So you can kind of, it doesn't have to be your only position or holding with regard to a company. It can kind of be like a little extra boost as you put it on that particular stock that you think is going to go up. You just, a little extra kicker.
Right, exactly. And okay. The key, I think the key for any type of investor who utilizes options is that just as it's important to diversify your investment portfolio, it's important to diversify in the way that you use options. Meaning, I think if you diversify your option strategies and the way that you use options over a long period of time, then you're much more likely to get the benefit of the flexibility that options offer without putting all your eggs in one basket, so to speak.
Yeah, no, that's very important, and I'm glad you clarified that. And the other side of this, of course, is that as the markets get to, you know, any new level of records, or it gets above a certain level in people's minds that, wow, you know, the market is really, quote-unquote, high, and we know that's a very relative term. But the other use of options and these strategies can be defensive.
And exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about that. So let's say somebody's got a portfolio, and they're like, you know what? I want to hope for the best, but I really want to be prepared for the worst. So can I use some options to, quote unquote, hedge my bet against, you know, the market taking a 10 or 20%, not point, but 10 or 20% drop on some bad news somewhere, somebody putting a plane into a building or something happening.
Right. And I think that's a crucial point, because today, options are actually quite cheap, even though the market is up, you know, 150% over the last 5 years. So in the U.S., many investors have very strong gains, especially after a nice 2013, where I think it makes a lot of sense to look at one-year options hedges, go out to, you know, January 2015 options, which are very liquid in the S&P 500 index. And you can buy put protection, where you essentially protect yourself. If the S&P 500 falls more than 10%, you don't lose any extra money, and the outlay initially today would be 2 to 3% extra cost to your portfolio. So that would be a nice way. That's one possible way to protect your portfolio over the next year, like you said, in case you have a correction or a significant sell-off, which we haven't seen in a while, you'd be the ant who prepared over the winter, so to speak.
That's very good. That's right. Boot that grasshopper right out of there and
exactly.
Make sure you're protected. I love it. Ennis Tanner's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Riskreversal.com is the website. We're going to grab a quick break and we'll be right back.
Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market? How can you tell? It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Ennis Tanner on the line with us. The halftime report, closing bell, options, actions on CNBC, and now Real Money with David Holland. We are honored, Ennis. We're glad to have you on. I want to go back to the example you were describing before the break, which I think is excellent. If somebody is concerned about the wherever the market may be, okay, wherever it may be and what their concerns are for, depending on how much protection or how much downside risk they want to cover and how long they want to cover that, they can put money up, they can write a check or have it obviously come out of their account, and they can buy that protection. So you gave the example of doing a put on the S&P 500, that if the market, the S&P 500 index went down by more than 10%, then that would kick in. And so let's talk about the mechanics of what would happen. It would kick in means that then you would be able to sell the put, or you'd be able to get money back. Explain the
right.
Mechanics there.
So let's say you have a $100 portfolio today, and you wanted to buy this protection that essentially said it's insurance. It's an insurance contract, in essence, that says if the market falls more, if the S&P 500 specifically, you would have to purchase it on a specific index. If the S&P 500 falls more than 10% within the next year, I do not lose anything more than 10%. That's essentially
okay.
What that put option contract would imply. And the cost of that up front would be 3% out of your pocket. So you would pay $3 out of your pocket. And in 6 months, let's say over the next 6 months, for whatever reason, as you mentioned, something that we don't know today, caused the market to go down 20% in that period, you would only lose the 10% that you could lose before that put protection kicks in, plus the extra $3 that you paid up front. So
okay.
You could take your $3 and down 20% in the market, you would sell your put contract and you'd receive $10 back.
Okay, so it becomes the put or the contract you have purchased
appreciates
has value that increases the more the market goes down.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
And there are also, that would be a very simple and somewhat expensive example, I think. But if you bought a put spread, which is another way to do it, you could also sell a call and buy a put, which we call a caller.
Right.
There are more complicated strategies. And each of those would be ways to lower that initial cost.
So yeah, because you'd make money on the one and pay for the other.
Exactly.
Okay.
So instead of $3 out of your pocket, it might be $1 out of your pocket.
That's cool. You'd limit your upside, but you'd limit your downside.
Exactly.
You say, this is the range I'm willing to accept and I'm comfortable with it. So using the analogy, you mentioned it as is really like insurance for the portfolio. Do you use that analogy? You're paying a premium for your coverage. And so when the accident happens, likening it to car insurance, you've paid your premium and you still have a deductible, which is that 10% potential loss that you still may have. That's kind of like your deductible where you're self-insuring
exactly,
that portion.
That's exactly the right way to think about
okay,
it. Exactly.
Good. Well, I think for a lot of people that get anxious, and especially for people, who have a significant portfolio that they do not want to let take a hit, then it's definitely worth working. And I think I like the idea, and it's what you said about, thinking beyond just the downside. If you're willing to give up a little bit of the upside, you can bring the cost of your insurance, using these strategies down even further.
Exactly. And that's, as I said before, The way that we generally see institutional investors use options are two main strategies. First is the call selling against their long positions, single stock options positions in their portfolio But for the portfolio-wide viewpoint that we're talking about here, we do see institutional investors very frequently purchase S&P 500 or NASDAQ put option protection as a way to protect themselves for the unknown on a portfolio-wide level.
Excellent. Ennis Tanner's been our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Riskreversal.com is a website. Ennis, thank you very, very much for your time. We appreciate you being on and sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it as well.
You're welcome.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.